The First Testament lesson comes from the first chapter of Genesis, which you may find on page 1 in the Old Testament. Not too hard today. Listen for the word of God. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was a formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep. While a wind from God swept over the face of the waters, then God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw that the light was good. And God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Before I read our New Testament text this morning, just a couple of notes. First, I'm going to be talking about a variety of things throughout chapter 1, even though we didn't read the whole chapter. I'm going to be referring to some things out of chapter 1 in Genesis. Also, today begins a new sermon series, The Genesis of Our Faith. Years ago, there was a book published called, what was it? I Learned Everything I Needed to Know in Kindergarten. Well, you could almost say that about the book of Genesis. Almost everything we need to know, we can learn in Genesis. And so that's where we're going to be focusing from now through the summer, through the first Sunday in September. So I'm reading our New Testament text out of Revelation, the 21st chapter. The first 5 verses, and what you'll hear in this are echoes of the creation story. And what that says is the Bible begins and ends in about the same place. Let us listen to the word of the Lord. "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'See, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them as their God. They will be his peoples, and God himself will be with them. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more, for the first things have passed away.' And the one who was seated on the throne said, 'See, I am making all things new.'" The word of the Lord. In some ways, there's an ongoing debate about when it began. Some people say it began in 1859. Other people say it began in the 1920s. But regardless of when it began, this ongoing debate between evolution and creationism has consumed far more time of churches, school boards, and state school institutions than it perhaps ever should have. Now, 1859, Charles Darwin publishes The Origin of the Species, where he begins to talk about natural selection and evolution. And what's interesting is, if you go back and sort of read the church response to the publication of this, most Christians just said, well, sure, God can use natural selection, God can use all of this, no big deal. There's no conflict. But then in the 1920s, almost exactly 100 years ago, there was a movement called the fundamentalist movement. And they actually published a list of fundamental doctrines that they said if one was to be a Christian, one had to believe these doctrines. And one of those doctrines was 7 literal days, 24-hour days of creation. And suddenly in the 1920s, this debate began to rage, and it continues to rage throughout our nation. Now, I raise it not because we're going to talk about that debate, because we're not, but I just wanted to put it on the table for us to think about. Because what we're going to do, especially with this first chapter of Genesis, is we're going to see it for what it had been for the 2,600 years before that, before the 1920s. It was a faith text. It was a religious text. Only in the 1920s did people begin to talk about it like it was a geology text or a biology text or a physics text. Up until that point, it had always been a text of faith that was intended to tell us things about God and about ourselves. And so that's how we're going to approach it this morning. That there are, in fact, what we're going to look at this morning, there are four discoveries that are critical for our faith. That if we want to be faithful God followers and faithful Christ followers, there are four discoveries in this first chapter of Genesis that I think we need to take a hold of. The first discovery: life matters to God. Now, some of you may be wondering why I didn't say, well, God is the creator. I mean, that is the usual doctrinal way of stating all of this. It's because creation isn't just creation for the sake of creation. Creation is the sake of creation for life. That what God does is God brings life into being. And not just life with a small L, life with a capital L, in big, bold letters. You listen to this story and you hear words like, let the waters bring forth swarms of living creatures. Let everything be created that is in the seas and in the air. Let every kind of animal be created. It is all about life in its fullness and its abundance. And all of that life is declared to be good by God, meaning it is fit for its purpose in the world. No, life matters to God. This is why Jesus can say, I came to bring you life and life abundant. This is why Jesus can say, God is the God of the living and not the dead. Because God is about life. And not just human life. Remember, God declared all life, plants, animals, water, sky, it's all God's. And so this is critical for our faith, because as we develop our faith, our relationship with God in Christ, what we need to remember is that God not only cares about us, God cares about all of life. It matters to God. Second discovery is also about God. And that is, God is a God who takes risks. Let me say that again. God is a God who takes risks. Now, I realize that for many of you that may sound odd. But let me explain it this way. I took this poll several years ago, and since you all are back in here, I get to take another poll. So how many of you were once children? Okay, all right, good. Most of you. Some hands didn't go up, but most of you were once children. All right. When your parents gave you birth or fostered you or adopted you, they took a chance. They took a chance. They took a risk. And the risk was that when you reached approximately the age of 2, you discovered the most powerful two-letter word in the English language, which is the word exactly. Because what happens when we as children learn to say no, it means we've separated from our parents. It means we have claimed our independent identity, that we are a human being apart from those who gave us birth or fostered or adopted us. And that word no is the word that has been used with God. Because God, when God created all that there is, God didn't create simply an extension of God's self. God created something apart from God. And this is one of those great learnings. You have creator, creation. Creator, creation. And creation is separate from God. And the fact is that creation can say no to God. And I realize that we'll talk more about this when we get to chapter 3 of Genesis. But rabbinic scholars over the year, and I love some of the stuff that rabbinic scholars, as they have reflected for thousands of years upon the Torah and upon the text, they go to verse 20 of chapter 1, and they say, well, let me read it to you. And God said, let the waters bring forth swarms of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the dome of the sky. Let the earth bring forth. Let the earth bring forth. Does the earth bring forth? No. God has to do it. So God created great sea monsters and all. And what rabbinic scholar says is that creation is separate from the creator. And even in chapter 1 of Genesis, we hear creation saying no to God. No, we're not going to do that. And so God has to do it. And because God creates something that is separate from God's own self, God took a risk. A risk that the creatures and creation could say no to God. And why this matters for our faith is it forces us to realize that we have to make choices. That our lives are about choices that we need to make, whether we are going to say yes or no to God. The third discovery is about us. And that is, and I know this will come as a shock to you, we are not God. Now, I realize that many of you would say, well, John, that's just obvious. We know we're not God. We're born, we die. But the problem is there are two issues with us not understanding this. One is sometimes we act like we're God. We act like we know best. We have all the answers. We don't need to check in with God. We don't need to check in with the scriptures or tradition. We don't need to listen to our community of faith. We know it. We know it all. And you know, kind of like 13-year-olds, we know it all. And 55-year-olds and 80-year-olds. We know it all. And that's not understanding that we're not God. Now, the second thing that we need to realize through this fact that we're not God, remember, God creates separate from God's self. Creator, creation. Is that human beings have this tendency to want to turn our lives over to another human being who we want to allow to act like they are God to us. Hitler, Stalin, Pol Pot, Jim Jones. We hand to these people the faith and the allegiance that is only due to God. And the problem with that is it never ends well. It never ends well. Because ultimately, when we do that, we are handing our lives over to a fallible human being who is not God. And so this is critical for our faith because it reminds us that our ultimate allegiance always needs to be to the God of creation and to His Son, Jesus Christ, God incarnate. It's critical to our faith. The fourth and last discovery for this morning is that we are works in progress. That we human beings are works in progress. Now, it's interesting in the book, in this first chapter of Genesis, of the 6 days of sort of creative activity, day seven of creation was the Sabbath, and we're going to spend some time on the Sabbath later. But the 6 days of creation, there are only 2 days that are not declared to be good. And again, good, it means fit for a purpose. One of those is the separation of light and I mean sky and sea. But the second one, interestingly enough, is the creation of human beings. When God creates male and female, God doesn't say, it's good. And again, what rabbinic scholars say is that's because God wasn't sure about us. God was sure about the birds and the bees and the fish and the sky and the, you know, God was sure about lots of stuff, that it was fit for its purpose, but God wasn't sure about us. Why? Because among all the creatures, we're the ones who can say no. We're the ones who can refuse to listen. We're the ones who can choose not to love God and love neighbor. And what that means, that from the very beginning of things, human beings have always been works in progress, that God has had to work with us and through us. And this matters for our faith, because I think sometimes when we don't get it right, when we know we have strayed from the path, when we know we have sinned, when we know we have harmed others, and when we know we have disappointed God, it's easy for us just to give up and to be discouraged. And our faith journey just sometimes, for many people, just sort of comes to an end. But when we realize that we are works in progress, that we've always been works in progress, it means God gets it. God gets it. That's the reason God took a chance. That's the reason God risked everything. Even though God knew that we would be works in progress, God was okay with that. And so that's why it matters for our faith. Because it says to us, don't be discouraged. Keep at it. Keep at it. And so how do we sort of sum all this up? How do we put all of these four things together? Well, I want to do so with that passage out of Revelation 21, out of verse 5. And again, and the one seated on the throne said, see, I am making all things new. That doesn't mean God is making new things. It means God is taking old things and making them new. God is renewing them. That this is the business that God is in. God is in the life renewing, creation renewing business. And that God knew that from the beginning. God knew that life mattered. God knew that God was going to take risks. God knew that we would pretend sometimes to be God and that sometimes we would fail. But God says, that's okay. Because I am in the life-renewing business. And so my challenge to all of you for this week is this. Sorry. To ask yourself, how am I allowing God to make me new? What am I doing? How am I working at? How am I allowing God to make me new so that I might be part of God's amazing life more tomorrow than I am today. Let us pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks that you never give up on us, that you are that life-renewing, life-enhancing God. We give you thanks that you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, into this world so that he might be the one who gives us life and gives it abundantly. Help us to take hold of that life and allow it to change us every day. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.